Yes, welcome everybody. Rupert and Ditz are away.
Oh, fair enough. KG. KG.
Correct, wait. Rupert and Ditz are away until next week. The Rush Hour boys filling in for him. Well, once again, two out of three, Andrew Jarman and Gregory Blewett not here. So Bernie Vince is here as well.
Good morning, Bern.
Good morning, Jars. Yes, good to be here again. Early morning start. Hey, big show coming up too, Jars. Big show. We got Rhea Ripley, who won the women's WWE. Now, that is the world stage, if I've ever seen it before. She fought in a stadium that has a capacity of 70,000 people, Jars.
Wow.
You know where she started off her career?
Where's that, Bern?
At Wayville, which holds 450. Oh, that's if you fill it, but they never filled that one. That is the big stage. Nice. You've got the Texan coming on.
Yes.
The Coleman leader at the moment, he's coming on. So, a big show.
Yep.
And I'm excited, Jazz. How are you feeling today?
Fantastic for a
yesterday,
Tuesday.
Yesterday, you were a bit quiet.
Yeah, you're a bit down, Papa Bear.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
No, fine. No, tickety boo. Went from a walk jetty to jetty. Windy conditions here in Adelaide this morning, Bern.
Yeah, so, a bit dangerous, too. They're talking.
Yeah, the CFS are on high alert with these strong winds. I'm led to believe there could be some rain lurking in this beautiful state of ours. But, so be careful with these winds, more so in the hills area.
Yeah.
I've got my daughter out that way, so be careful. But they're on high alert, Bern.
Yes.
Even though it's going to be 24 degrees, yeah?
More so where trees are as well.
More so where trees are, absolutely. So we're going to get underway, Bern. We've got plenty to get through on this Tuesday, 13th of April, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to be on the Hilux Hill with your entire workplace, Sunday, Crosby, Fremantle, Hilux Hill.
Okay.
Okay.
You're having a go at me about pronunciation.
Yeah.
Are you genuinely having a crack?
No.
Bloody lip seized up.
Hey, we've got some live reads coming up too, Hado, so that'll be a chance to get him back.
We've also So if you want to do that, go to triplem.com.au or Waken Your Unbreakable today in the Toyota Hilux SR5, rogue and rugged, just like Bernie Vince at your local Toyota dealer.
We need to extend that. Now, how do we get the budget to extend that song?
I don't know.
We don't have a budget, Bern.
Oh,
if we played any more of that, we would be hit with a copyright fee.
Yeah,
so,
agree.
You know, that's fair. Yeah, that's free.
Well, I'll
that's
pay for it.
What's some news going around, Bern?
Just some AFL news to start with, Jars. Xavier Dersmer and Zach Butters will both go under the knife today, which is disappointing, but hopefully they're speedy recovery.
They're not long-term injuries, though, are they?
Not long-term, no. They'll be back. They'll be back soon. Okay. So, importantly, for the finals push this year, Chelsea Randall has been ruled out with concussion. Now, how devastating is that, Giles?
Well, it is.
They are, I was reading a stat. They are a so much better team when she's in.
Yeah.
The
So you're saying without
loss,
her this weekend they'll lose
against
Brisbane?
Well, they're 3 wins and 5 losses without her, and something like 25-5 with her. So I don't want to jinx anyone. I don't want to say anything like that. But she'll be a big loss, is what I'm trying to say, Jars. And also, Lachie Scholl has been nominated for the Rising Star for the second time, Jars.
Nice.
Second time.
He's
so if you play under 10 games in year 20 on the 1st of January of that season, you can be nominated again.
Very embarrassing to be an Australian. Our Prime Minister Scott Morrison's pledge that Australians would be at the front of the queue for the COVID-19 vaccines have been smashed by new world rankings that put us on par with Botswana.
What? Who?
Where
the hell's that, Jazz?
Well, that's out there in Africa somewhere, which is very scary. he's just full of wind, the Prime Minister. And I don't like bagging the top dogs of any industry, but that's just lies. He's just telling us lies. That is an embarrassment, that ranking. A new world ranking that puts us on par with Botswana for the vaccine burn.
That's not good, Jazz. That is not good. And yes, we're hearing a lot of things, but we're not seeing a lot of things at the moment in
all
that space,
fluff.
Are we?
All wind and fluff.
Hey, thousands of Hills residents, Jars, could soon be charged for hard waste collection move that could set a precedent for other metropolitan councils. Now, this used to be free, Jars. They want to charge.
You get 2 a year.
100. Yes, you're meant to. You get two free pickups a year, which you can put as much as you want on there.
Yeah.
$140 they're going to charge. The Mount Barker District Council is looking to charge. So, I mean, it just comes with the budget strains now in local councils. So that's a move. It hasn't got over the line yet, but that's something they're looking at doing.
Oh, mate, I mean, that's why fly tipping happens, you know, when you just chuck like a mattress or whatever out in the bush. I know that not too long ago, I had to drop off like a couple of couches to the tip, the one that's in Seaford Rise.
Yeah.
And yes. I've gone in and I had to, and there was one thing that didn't fit on the trailer, right. So I had to do two trips. And I've gone, I'll go in and they've gone, oh, that'll be like, I genuinely weigh over $100. And I've just gone, well, I've got one more thing that I've got to go home and get and bring back. Can I get like a pass? They're like, no. So I had to pay another $130, I think it was, just to drop off a bloody armchair and a couple of cushions.
Well, yeah, they want to charge $140 per pickup or they've flagged a $43 at call fee and an additional $23 per mattress. So you would have got away a little bit cheaper if you got them to come and pick up your mattress for $23.
What about the elderly in the hills? What about the elderly?
Well, honestly, that's more money it's going to cost them, Jars.
Take.
Yeah. Well, but there's budget strains, Jars. So what do? They've got to pull back somewhere.
Mm.
Maybe stop paying all those high.
And Hayter, how many couches did you say yet?
No, well, I only had one. It was two armchairs and a couch and a three-seater, but only one couch. No, because a bigger trailer would have cost me about $50 more. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll do two trips. Nah, they stuffed me over.
Easy.
I haven't seen a money plan like this since Andrew Jarman was collecting for his own birthday present. This is absolutely outrageous.
He's rattling the tins for his own birthday. He's worse so.
What do you think, family? 0488 51047. Especially if you live in the hills, are you cool with that? Because hard rubbish, pretty much anywhere in Adelaide, South Australia, is free twice a year.
Exactly. I get twice a year. You ring up every 6 months, and you got to make sure you put the right stuff out the front because otherwise they won't collect.
Yeah.
Yep.
But so now they're going to slug us with a tax.
Not going to happen.
Another tax.
What kind of stuff do you throw out?
Oh, just old memorabilia.
No, that's the stuff you don't throw out.
If you live in the hills, you're about to have your pants pulled down over the price of hard rubbish collection. They're going to charge like a Stansbury bull. How much is it going to cost?
$140 they're looking at, Hayter, for some hard waste. Tim from Redwood Park joins us. Good morning, Tim.
Hi, boys. How are you going? Love your show.
Thanks, buddy. What's your take on this? Another tax.
Yeah. I think every council's got to up their hard rubbish thing. EPA have upped their levies at the dumps.
Yeah.
So things that, like, Cleansville used to cost $6, it's about to go up to, like, $40 a tonne. Oh. Concrete at one of the dumps has got up to $160 a tonne.
Oh, no. The dump.
And this is in the last, probably since November last year, it's slowly gone up.
Yep.
And construction industry is going to, I'm a land earth mover.
Yeah.
And we're starting to suffer now. Because of the high
levies of it.
But here's the thing. Like, if you buy a $150 couch, which is not out of the question,
no.
You're going to have to pay just as much 5 years down the track to get rid of it, whether you drop it off to a waste management centre or if you get hard rubbish. So what do you reckon the options are, Tim, other than that?
There's no other options.
No
really.
Other options, is there? They've painted you into a corner.
And we're going to see a lot more legal dumping, aren't we, of hard waste?
Yeah, and that's not good for the state.
No, it's not, because it's a dirty look.
Yeah, it is.
Timmy, great stuff. I've got a prize for Timmy, please.
Yeah, we're going to send you along to Crows v Frio this Sunday, 12:40 at Adelaide Oval, mate. Thanks for your call, Tim.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks, boys.
See you, buddy.
Not
well done.
A problem
again.
At all.
Rise.
Yep. Not
money,
good.
Money. Well, Burns, he promised he would bring home the richest prize in professional wrestling and to do so in a brutal way. An Adelaide girl, South Australian girl, Rhea Ripley, has made good on her promise. She joins us, who's won the Raw Women's Championship in the WWE. Good That's morning to you, Rhea.
Morning, guys.
Oh, wow. How's it been since? Because this is one of the biggest things to happen in the world.
Oh, man, it's been a wild few days.
And you're an Adelaide girl. Tell us a bit about the suburb you grew up in, the school you went to.
Yeah, I mean, Adelaide girl right here. I grew up in Henley Beach South.
Oh,
Jazz.
Come here.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Henley Primary, so They're my schools, you know.
So we're neighbours. Bern, I could be her right-hand man, her trainer.
No, you keep away from her, Jazz.
You probably were neighbours. Around the corner.
You don't want that, Rhea, trust me.
She'd probably swim you around the ring. I loved it. Honestly, what made you go, you know what, I'm going to dominate the world by going into the WWE?
WWE is something that I've been watching. I've always been a sporty sort of person. Like, I've tried every single sport that you could think of. Wrestling was something that I watched, and I just thought it was so different. And to find somewhere that I could do it, like, I wanted to just follow this dream of mine, which was so strange to everyone else. Like, everyone would tell me, like, you should think more about an actual job. And I'm like, nah, like, this is going to be my job. Lucky for me, like, I'm a very determined soul, and I found Riot City Wrestling in Adelaide, and I tried out when I was 16. Got in. At that time, I was known as the fangirl of Riot City Wrestling, so I'm thankful to them for letting me in and letting that fangirl in. But it's been a wild, wild ride ever since.
Now, Rhea, you're in Adelaide. You were fighting in front of 450 capacity Latvian Hall in Wayville. Now, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay on the weekend has a capacity of 70,000 fans. 25,000 were allowed in due to COVID, but that must have been so exciting for you fighting in front of that many fans.
Man, it was absolutely insane, especially from last year being on WrestleMania and having zero.
This
was my WrestleMania. It was so surreal going out there on the stage on the first night and being out there, seeing the crowd and seeing them all get emotional and being so excited, and it acted my eye, and I'm sort of like, I'm not upset, but I'm like, damn you guys for getting that on film. Now everyone knows that I cry. So that was like a thing. Going out there and wrestling in front of that crowd was absolutely amazing.
God.
I've definitely missed that crowd interaction that we've been missing for a good year now. But it was wild. It was so wild. And I came out the Raw Women's Champion. I got to celebrate. It was epic. I got to come out with my band. Oh, everything was so perfect.
Now, your winning move. You unleashed a riptide, Josh. You unleashed a riptide on her opponent. Talk us through what that is.
Yes, that's my main move. Pretty much, I just pick him up position and I slam him on the ground as hard as I can. And it seemed to work a lot of the time.
Could you do it to a bloke called Greg Blewett to us, Rhea?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
I feel like I can do it to anyone.
You'd ragdoll him. Honestly, Rhea, you would ragdoll him. Now, the family back at home in Adelaide would have been so proud.
Yeah, they were all so excited. I haven't been able to FaceTime them yet because the time zone, and now I'm at Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
But I'm going to call them on the way home. But I've definitely opened up my messenger on Facebook, and my mom sent me a few messages. My sister sent me a few voice messages where she's like legit in tears. I can hear it. I can't wait to talk to them.
Now, Rhea, you're an Adelaide Crows fan. Have you followed their impressive start to the year? And do you have a favourite? The big Texan's up and about. He's kicked 20 goals in 4 games already.
Oh, good. Good old Tex.
Good old Tex.
I haven't been able to really follow it too much this year because, like, it's so hectic over here with my schedule. So, and like just watching it, I don't really know how to like watch it over here. Yeah, I'm not really tech savvy at all. So like I'm pretty old in that aspect. Like I don't know how to do any of that stuff, but just being so busy, I haven't been able to catch up with the Crows at all. And like I much prefer being there and feeling like that's going on in the arena, sort of like wrestling. Like I love that feeling, you know?
We're so proud of you. Congratulations. And thank you for giving us some of your time on FaceTime. We know you're very busy, Rhea, and all your journey, and just keep striving to be the best in the world in your sport.
Thank you, guys. Like, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rhea. Rhea Ripley there, ladies and gentlemen. Family, she's done us proud. An Adelaide girl. She's now the new WWE champion. She's done amazing things for it. So congratulations, Bernard. That was a fantastic chat with Rhea. And Rhea, take care, and we'll see you again.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. Get fantastic. Around Adelaide.
Bern. How good is that? Putting that sport on the map here for young girls that look up to her, because that's outstanding, Jazz, to do that. First ever Australian woman to do that. So
a South Australian girl.
And Adelaide girl as well. Yeah, we need right around her.
Well, no. She's my next door neighbour.
No, but you didn't know that, Jazz. You can't just claim it because she told you and, like, you've brought her up and taught her all her moves. You just sit back down, and you can't add an on to that list that you have to keep away from. Now, there's about 223 on that list.
Hello. Rhea, yeah, thanks for your time. Greg Blewett's number. Here, I just we'll just pass it on to you.
And
just,
here's his address.
Here's his ragdoll him.
Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home. Let's
talk about Tex. Let's
talk about Tex.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Tex Walker.
Good morning, young man. Welcome.
Good morning, Papa.
Oh, have a listen to him. He's up and about, isn't he? Hey.
What are you two boys up to?
Oh, what do you think? We're on radio working.
Yeah. Yeah, well, where's your other mate?
Oh, good question. Nah, we don't care.
We don't, yeah.
Nah, he's somewhere
gone to Tasmania to play golf.
Hopefully he stays there.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Well, you might get blown away out there by the sound of it.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I was going to say, you two are probably hoping that he does. What's he been bringing to your show this year? Nah. Anything? Or?
That's another very good question.
Not much at all, mate. Not much at all. He begged and borrowed to our boss to get a gig with us to bring some wonderful content, but haven't sighted it yet.
Hey, Tex, tested on the weekend, down at three-quarter time, showed some heart. And dug deep and, well, smashed them in the last quarter.
We just wanted to keep everyone on their seats, Bern. But, no, it was at North where after last week we predicted that they'd come out and throw everything they got at us. And I think it was a very mature win for our boys in the end, obviously being quite a young, inexperienced group, especially without the skipper on the weekend. So it was a great win for our footy club.
Hey, they must have been happy with the spread. Now, you had a big impact on the game. Now, I thought McAdam and Fogarty, they had sort of quiet days, but still good to pop up when needed and kick three in that last quarter each.
Yeah, those boys probably didn't have the impact they wanted to for the whole game, but when the moments come, like Fog was able to settle his nerves and nail a few through the big sticks, and so was Shano. So certainly played their part in the second half of the game.
Hey, Lachie Scholl, Rising Star nominee for the second time, 31 disposals, a goal. His ball use is elite, but he sort of just sneaks under the radar. We don't hear much about him, don't hear from him. What's he like?
Oh, he's a great kid, Bernie. He reminds me very much of a little B Vince, both left and right feet.
Oh, he would be a great kid then.
Phenomenal kick.
Wow.
Yeah, nice.
He'd be in my top three kicks being that I can lead to and over my career. So I love, and he's a ripping kid, one of the best characters you'll ever meet. So it's great reward for what he's done over the last couple of years.
Texan, it's Hato. There is somebody in this studio that you did let down, though, mate. I'm sorry to say that. Andrew Jarman, especially because he made this call on Saturday's Dead Set Legends.
Adelaide Crows, absolutely.
Yeah, me too again.
Text to kick 10.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez, you are so on text right now, aren't you? It's almost like a Bernie sort of crush at the moment.
Look at him. Oh.
Text to kick Ebo. 10.
And you know what he did do, text in our group message? When you kick two goals in the first 2 minutes, hey, get that audio ready for Monday. Get that audio. He's going to kick. I thought you were going to kick 20 at one stage.
On fire early.
Wasn't to be, Papa, so I let you down.
No, you didn't. You never let me down. No. Now, you said the top three kicks. Who was the other two? You said Lachie Scholl. Who's the other two that you've...
Well, B Vince is one.
There's the other one.
Andrew McLeod, and can I have one that he's probably fourth.
Okay, who's that?
Tommy Lynch.
Oh, Tommy Lynch, the Red Baron.
He's a beautiful kick. Okay. Very, very good kick to a lead.
Yeah, what I like about him is he faces his body a different way and pulls it across, so he sells the defender one way. Only us big forwards would know that, Jos.
But again, to get in the top three, Papa, you got to be able to kick on both feet, short and long.
No, I know, mate. I know that.
That's why Lynch is not in there.
Eh? You reckon you would have slid into my top three?
No, well, that's not up to me to say that. That's up to you. If I was playing with you, then you could make that decision. But
here's your chance to plead your case.
Not at all.
He just used to handball.
Not at all.
Tex, anyway. Hey, Tex, I just had a look at your next three games. You're currently 3-1.
Yep.
You play Fremantle at home, Hawthorne away, and then the Giants back at home. Now, I know you don't want to look too far ahead, but that's a good 3 weeks coming up.
We'll start off with Freo this week, B. Burn. They're in good form. They've got some really, really good young kids playing for them at the moment and in good form. So we'll start with Freo on the weekend and we'll take that one as it comes and hopefully get another W.
Texan, as we know, Travis Boak has got $1 million of recovery equipment at his establishment. He could play to his 45 the way he's going. What about you? What's your setup like at home? Have you got all the latest gear like LeBron James has? Are you into that world in terms of recovery, Texan? Because we're seeing some wonderful signs.
I've got some things for recovery and some things that I do use at home. I'm currently
they're in the fridge.
I'm currently looking to buy sauna jars, actually.
Yeah, no, oh. Mm,
yeah, and Ferret sauna. I was over there when you broke this news to your beautiful wife, Ellie. And that's fair to say, it didn't go down too well. And the last thing I heard was, we will not be getting a sauna, Taylor. So how's that going?
Well, let's see.
Yeah, they're about 6-8 grand, aren't they?
Yeah, just a little bit more.
She thought there was a few other things you probably needed before you got a sauna. That was
an infrared sauna.
But I said to her, if that's going to help me get another contract, then it'll pay for itself. So
now, have you had dialogue from Mark Rusciuto and Justin Reid about a new contract? Your management group, because it better hurry up, because I want you. If not, you're going to another club.
Oh, that's something that obviously Dogger and TLA will look after. Dogger. But, mate, I really want to stay and play on next year. So that's
good. Excellent. There you
hopefully
go.
The club and my management will sort that out.
Who's Dogger?
Michael Dowdy.
You peanut.
Sorry, use nicknames. People don't know who I'm talking about. That's Michael Dowdy.
Dogger, Joffa, Rick.
Yeah, Knackers.
Great buddy, Knackerbag. Hey, I told Nixie last week, I asked him,
did too.
And I said, I'm Texas' new manager, and if you don't hurry up and sign him up, there's a couple of clubs inquiring, and he wasn't very happy with that, Justin.
He was shattered.
Oh, he shut me down. Burning.
He wasn't happy. Did he pull his hair out, did he?
I got no bloody hair to left, mate.
He grew some.
Shut up, Tex, you're staying.
Nixie's on the other line. What are the other two clubs have spoken to you, Burn?
I can't say yet, but they're Victorian clubs.
Yeah.
Hey, Tex,
in the premiership
you've
window.
Been working with Andrew Jarman too long, dropping big bombs like that.
Tex, have you heard how Sloaney's going with the eye socket?
Yeah, I actually saw him yesterday. He's pretty much got to learn his right side for another couple of days. The only time he can get up is to go and do a number one or two or have something to eat. So he's in for a bit of a recovery, but footy's going to be there forever. His eye won't be if he doesn't look after it. So that's number one.
Good call.
That's a good so I'm just writing that one down
now. Have you got a gag before you let us go, before you say goodbye? You got recovery, your infrared sauna's ready? What do you got?
Yeah, did you boys hear about the man that had an accident while playing peekaboo?
No, I didn't.
He's currently in the ICU.
He's in there with Sloaney.
Take care of your Freo, mate. Kick a bag.
Good on you, boys.
Tex Walker.
Do we get dumped then?
I got this story come across to me yesterday, Burn. There's a fresh push to drop gender terms like mum, dad, husband, or girlfriend. A campaign is calling on schools, workplaces and sporting groups to roll out a range of measures, including the use of non-gender terms in a bid to be more inclusive of the LGBTQI+. Look, what's happened to free speech? I've got no idea.
Well, this is concerning. This is the political correctness gone mad, Jazz.
Completely mad, Burn.
And I'm all for, you know, what's happened and gone past us, but society's just gone a little bit too far. There's no way, and as we were speaking off air, that we could tell our kids not to call us. But Harvey gets up every morning, daddy. Like, what's he going to call me?
What?
Bernie?
Yeah.
No, that's not for mine, and I'm not saying I'm against that community or anything.
Political correctness has gone absolutely berserk. They've changed bloody nursery rhymes. The Dr. Zeus books, what's happened to them?
Oh, they're gone. Banned.
A few of them have been.
And what about sporting commentators now?
Yeah, well, you can't call. I noticed in the cricket, you don't. They don't call them batsmen. Yeah. They call them bats person or bats people. Oh, same gender sports teams, all this sort of thing. Gingerbread man, gingerbread person. Now,
I've seen that. Yeah,
in bakeries and all those sorts of things. But I mean, this is. Oh, I see what's happening, but this has gone a little bit too far. This one here, if you're coming into our household telling my kids that you can't call me mum and dad, I'm putting a flag in the ground.
I was so angry when I saw this story come across, and I've gone no. The LGBTQI plus respect what they're going through and what they've been through. Understand, I understand all that, but there is no way that my children will not refer to me as their dad and their mother or their girlfriend or their boyfriend. There is no way that'll ever happen while I'm breathing air, Byrne. I'm sorry, but there is no way. What will everyone be called then?
Well, I'm not sure.
Are we gonna You're call? Gonna have to. Well, what's maybe, Harvey or Olivia's going to call their, you know, Bernie actually, and bloody Abby?
Yeah, he does. He actually does because I yell out, "Oh, yeah, Ab, hey, Ab," and he calls her Ab sometimes. So he's actually jumping on board this. But is it what I want to know? Is it a fair representation of this community, or is it a bit of media hype, Jars? Is it a story that they know will get? You know, people talk like us talking about it, or is this a fair representation? Because I'm confused here, and I don't know where they're going with it.
The world's gone nuts.
I think at the end of the day, it's well, what is the end goal? What is the end goal of doing this? Like, I think we're trying to protect people, but at the same time, like I grew up without a dad, and when I would be at, you know, preschool, primary school, you'd see kids running up to their dad going, "Dad," and you'd feel a little bit sad, but there was no need to outlaw it for that reason.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? And now their terms, and you brought up a point before about free speech, but then there are others that want to be protected. So that's why we're throwing it out to the family.
Has it gone too far? Is it going too far?
Yep.
Sam from Royal Park, good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say it's, you know, all this LGBTI doesn't offend me, doesn't disgust me, doesn't excite me either. But what's happening is they're allowed to express their individuality, and they're really bright and colourful. And we've got the gay Mardi Gras, we've got rainbow this and rainbow that. But everybody else has to blend in to be this grey sludge. You know, we can't identify. I'm a female, I'm a mum, and I'm a missus, but I can't say that because that might offend somebody from the LGBTI community. But if I was to say to them, well, hello, you need to identify as male or female.
Yep.
Then they get offended.
So do you think, for you, Sam, though, is it more about being told what to say as opposed to having a free option of what to say?
Well, that's right. So when did it become offensive to say? It's the same with all of this. Everybody wants to blend in until they think that they can be identified as something that they see as fantastic. Mm. Then everybody else has to hide and push down and... You know, you have to read 1984 from high school by George Orwell. If everyone started reading that again, they'd be horrified of what's going on.
Mm. Sam, great call.
Great call.
Great call. Let's go to Paul from Broadview. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, guys. How are you all?
Yep, your thoughts?
Good, Paul.
What I don't understand is that the left wishes to get rid of particular labels, and yet they're inventing new labels. So my question, I'm posing the question is, why are we creating new labels for groups of people and doing away with traditional labels when they should actually be complementing each other?
Great call. Two great calls there, Jazz. Absolutely. And it's all about freedom of speech is what they're saying. They got freedom. They can make your own choices.
But we're all labelled.
Exactly.
Don't like it. Shane from My Ponga. G'day, Shane. Thanks for holding on.
No worries, guys. I just think the whole world has gone absolutely batshit crazy. There's 99.997% don't agree with it at all. And while we continue to talk about it in media and everyday life, we're just fueling the fire.
I agree. Do you reckon we should drop it? We shouldn't have even spoken about it today. Just not make it a thing.
I'm sure there's probably better things to talk about. But I'm a dad, and I've called my father dad for ages. It's just a part of life.
Absolutely, Shano. Respect your call, mate. Paul from Mount Compass. G'day, mate.
Yes, morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I agree with the fellow before, mate. The world's gone mad. Absolutely. You know, it gets... only your kids can call you dad or mum, and, you know, that's the beautiful thing. And I heard Bernie talking about his kids yesterday, and you hear the pride in his voice when he talks about his young fella calling him dad, and I feel the same way. It's madness.
Yeah,
that means I can't even really call Harvey my son, or you know, Olivia my daughter.
Also too, how do you police it if a 5-year-old goes, "Dad"? Well, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Craig from
him.
Salisbury Downs. G'day, Craig.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
What's your take on it, mate?
Mate, I'm going to go from an emotional angle. I've just had my third grandchild.
Yeah.
Now, if that grandchild wasn't able to be called me Poppy, or my wife Nonna, would break our hearts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a big thing. Really is crap.
Mate, they've changed the nursery rhymes. Dr. Seuss books are banned. Sports commentators now have to be very careful what they say.
No, it's not good. And as I said, now this it actually makes me emotional that if my grandkids can't call me Poppy anymore, yeah, that would just suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take care, Craig. Let's go to Kerry from Richmond. G'day, Kerry.
Hi. So I have a different kind of story on it, and that is I had a child who was born a certain sex and then has come out non-binary.
Yep.
So from as a mother's point of view, and she still calls me mum and still calls me dad and sisters and all that. So we don't have that extremism, but I stuff up a lot and it's unintentional, and I've explained to them, okay, did you hear that term, them, that I never do it consciously. I never do it deliberately. It's not meant to offend, but give me a break. You were a certain name and identified as a certain gender for 27 years, and now I'm not supposed to call you daughter or your other name, and that's really difficult for a mum, you know. And they understand that. And anyway, so then I was telling a family friend who's a principal of a private school in Adelaide, and they said to me, it's like their counsellor at the school said, it's like when you were 16 and you're a real little shit and you might have stolen or been horrible to people and you got a reputation for being a real little piece of work, right?
Then
as you went on in life and matured, as we all do, you really were you really made up for it, became a much better person, blah, 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 blah. But all everyone wanted to do to you was to remind you of what you were when you were 16. Right?
When they said
that to me, I went, okay. Because as a mother, look, it's really... I struggle still, right? And so, you know, you would never not love your children. Like, you just love your children unconditionally, right? So it's a really tough call as a parent to go to rearrange everything you've known so far up until now, right? And when that was explained to me, it kind of came across in a way I was more palatable. Love them. You love your kids. Like, you would never do anything. No. I could never disown my kids. No.
Kerry, we're so proud of them for having the strength for them to make that decision for themselves. When it's been a later part in their life, do they understand when people do get it wrong? Like, you will probably get a pass, but if someone on the street said, you know, gave them a gender pronoun, she, her, like, do they understand?
Okay, so what my person does is they may, and even do it with me, when I'm talking about other people. So, like, if they get a friend, I still fall into, oh, is that a boy or a girl? And she goes, and they go, Mum, does it matter? I'm like, I don't know, you know. And so what they might say is gently correct you, like my person gently explains to me a different way. Like, when first it came out and they said, oh, you've got to say they, I'm like, but they's plural, that's what a lot of people say, that they's no it's not. And so, you know, look, it's hard, it's tricky, it's difficult,
yeah,
you know, but all through history, we've had gay people, we've had, you know, we've had all this spectrum. It's always just been hidden. Mm. I guess what, say some of us people, you know, who are in our 60s, we like, oh, yes, so they were a lesbian or they were gay or they were bi. Mm. That was simple. That was easy.
Yeah.
Okay, but now we've got all this other stuff and we're like, oh, couldn't you just be bi? couldn't you just be gay? I mean, like, I'm not being very reverent there, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's got a lot more layers and colours.
That's
all I'm saying.
Yep.
Kerry, thank you very much. Fantastic insight, Kerry.
That's one of the best calls I've ever been a part of on here, because that's, and I think as society, we are getting better at accepting.
But how hard is it for Kerry, being a mother of a 27-year-old, and she's got to say, my person, they or them.
And she
not
still
my
makes
or my son.
Still makes the mistake in front of them today. And and what about even friends and that coming around? Mm. Like, that's a fair question. You know, is it a male, female? You know, like, but you can't ask that, Jazz. And it's just, I think as society, which we could give ourselves a big tick because we're being a lot more welcoming and accepting of who people are, which is a good thing.
What a performance by the Japanese golfer.
Yeah. Hideki Matsuyama, Jars, the first ever Japanese major winner.
Wow.
That had two runners up. Yeah. Well, he was one of them in 2017 at the US Open. Yep. But this is the one. This is the, well, this is the Grand Slam of the Grand Slams. Yeah, the Masters. So $11.5 million US purse.
Wow.
He takes home $2,070,000. Now that's US, so that's big money.
That'll be change for him, wouldn't it? Now, Byrne.
Oh,
his endorsements he'll get in Japan.
It's not. That's probably just the that figure there. That's a good injection into his bank account. But his endorsements, as you said, in Japan, he'll be the number one. He'll be the face of everything. Their cereals, their cars, their everything.
They're saying he's going to be a billionaire out of this.
Oh, so
and where
so
was
you're
he?
Leaning. So he wins by one shot, Jars.
Right.
He's over a putt. And if he misses that one putt, he may not be a billionaire.
Right.
Can you imagine? You know, we play for, when we play for what? Lunch? 20 bucks?
Not
25
that,
bucks?
Not
nice
even
Palmer.
When you lose, you tend to head off pretty quickly. You have something on. But imagine standing over a putt. We worry if we're standing over a putt for 20 bucks. Imagine for a billion, either being a billionaire or not.
Oh. So he's been snapped, hasn't he, Matsuyama? He's been snapped and put on.
Where is he?
He's been snapped at the airport. So, you know, the green jacket you win?
Yeah.
That's like winning the yellow jacket.
Yes.
You know, I've got one at home. You've got, no, you just
I've
missed
got
out.
Two.
You just missed out on one at Adelaide.
He's got,
but anyway,
the green jacket.
His green jacket, he's just photographed at an airport where all the public is, just with his green jacket thrown over a seat. You'd think he'd be in some sort of high class lounge getting, it'd have people
carrying.
They should be carrying him on their shoulders on a chair.
Looks like he's just hit up the Hungry Jacks at the airport, dropped him for a pack of Charlesworth chocolate-coated peanuts, trying not to eyeball the miners waiting to get on a Rex flight. I'll tell you this, Byrne.
Yes.
I can tell you one thing.
Yes, I know.
Tiger Woods wouldn't have dropped him off at the airport.
That's too soon.
Yeah, that's
too soon, Hado.
Our
come
boy
on.
Tiger.
Yeah. Come on.
Well done. Congratulations to the young man. He looks like he's a very humble young man too, Byrne.
Well, he normally they'd have their own private jet, but he just looks like he's going in and just general class. Not even in first class. He's sitting down there just throwing the jacket over the seat and Bob's
well
your uncle.
Done.
Boys, not long left in the show.
Yeah. Byrne,
been
you
a
got,
good show.
You want to share something with us before we wrap it up?
Well, early on, Hado mentioned that you rattled tins for your own birthday fundraising thing, and that got
didn't.
Well, no, that's Hado. Yes or no?
Yes,
you did, Jazz. So, and that got me thinking about rattling tins. Now, I got a bit of a story. When I first got drafted, now it was a rapid rise for me. I played country footy. About 10 games later, I was playing round one at the Crows, or drafted and everything. It came from nowhere, Jazz. Right? So. As part of this sort of rise, I played a NAB Cup game. So my first ever NAB Cup game is about March, I think it is. I was drafted in 2005, 2006, NAB Cup. And if you kick a super goal, which is a goal from outside 50, your local junior club would get
$1,000. That's right.
So unbeknownst to me, I didn't know what was going on. I knew the super goal and the rule and all that, so I've kicked it.
Well done, Ben.
But little did I know, at the Stansbury pub, they have thought, oh, it's just a cash injection for the local junior club. And like a lot of my mates, I play junior footy and stuff, were there watching the game on the big screen and thought, and the publican, they've obviously like talked the publican into doing this, but $1,000 all of a sudden went on the bar jars. $1,000 on the bar, and let me tell you, it went real quick. Real quick. Didn't even see the quarter out, apparently, because everyone was hoeing right in. And drink responsibly, obviously. Yes. But so, and then all of a sudden, it come to like the Monday, and they're sort of looking, the publican's looking for his check or the cash. Cash, no cash.
No.
$1,000 worth of footballs were sent out to the footy club. So that next week, everyone's going, oh, well, was Weed there? Was Johnny? Was Gerald there? Was Tim. Snapper? Was Mika. He there? Aldie? Look, the tin was getting rattled, sent around trying to raise the $1,000 jars because, well, the publican was out of his pocket.
What happened to the footballs?
Well, in the end, I had to sign all the footies and they'd knock them off trying to get the thing. The poor juniors, they missed our jars.
Actually, Mika from the Stansbury pub was...
oh, no.
Yeah, nah, well, I think the local people got onto that.
Yeah, nah. We got Byrne to sign 1,000 of them. We gave them away with every Palmer and Pop meal, so we were kind of covered. But, everyone gave it back and...
Nice.
When there was money left over from the beers that were all bought, we donated $3.75. So it was a good day. It was a good day. Yeah. It was a good day.
So Mika seems to have gotten it all across the line from the Stansbury pub, mate.
Oh, Boone. Honestly.